From the neon lights of the club to the harsh buzzing lights of the office, don't let the wear show on your face. Just swipe Maybelline Instant Eraser Concealer to erase the night before, wherever that happens to be. Instantly cover dark circles and under eye bags for a brighter, more awake look. This do-it-all formula also contours, corrects, and highlights, all while staying lightweight, crease-resistant, and smooth. It may be the world's greatest eraser. Find your shade of Instant Eraser Concealer at your local retailer.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, your calls, as we hear real ghost stories as told by you. We got some good ones lined up for you today. I'm excited about that. Of course, our phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us that way. Or as some of our callers did today.
Two of them did.
They're picking up on some of the suggestions. And this is another option for you, especially if you're out of the country and you don't want to, you know, make a long distance call, even though it's a toll-free number in the U.S., you can always just record your story on your mobile device and then just send us the MP3 or M4A or whatever file format it saves it as, and email it. And yeah. And that's the other easy way of getting.
The quality is really good when you do that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really nice. So you can do that and email it to Tony at Real Ghost Stories Online or Jenny at Real Ghost Stories Online. J-E-N-N-Y.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
That's correct.
Okay. I never call you Jenny outside of the show, it seems. So I don't know how you would spell it if you were to use it that, because you never really use it as that.
I use it with Y.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Is it an option when, because, I mean, Jennifer mm-hmm. is your full name. When you condense the name down to a Jenny, is it up to you then how you're going to spell that? Or is it based on the original spelling of the Jennifer?
No, I think it's up to you, because most Jennifers just abbreviate it with, or shorten it and use Y after
sure.
the N's, but you can do I, or you can do J-E-N-I with just one N.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of options.
I could change mine, too, if I wanted to.
But, like, if your name's Virginia, you can also use Jenny as yours, but it's usually G-I-N-N-Y.
Oh. Because Anthony is me,
uh-huh.
and I've always just gone by Tony, and I've always spelled it T-O-N-Y. That's mm-hmm. just since I was a child. But if I wanted to, I could completely get crazy with that.
Well, traditionally, I at the end of Tony is for a female.
I know.
Okay.
But I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, just make it really weird. Like, T-O-N-I-Y-E. I don't know. Just a slew of vowels.
Okay.
And then, like, nobody has any idea how to pronounce my name. That's always fun.
Yeah, that's a way to make a normal name really
exactly.
weird.
I've had that before where I look at a name or something and then I'm like, I have no idea how to pronounce this, and I'm calling the person, and then I get a hold of them and I'm like, well, how do you pronounce your name? I'm sorry. And it's something as simple as that, like a Tony. And
yeah.
I'm like, Oh, that's an interesting way of spelling it. I don't know why people do it. It's just like one more step of being difficult.
Yeah.
I don't know. There we go. 855-853-4802, the phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first caller today. Hello.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Sarah Michelle. I thought I'd record a story for you instead of writing one in. I'm not a very good storyteller, so bear with me. I'm an EPP, and my first letter was read by Tony about my dad's death on the episode Buyer Beware. Tony, you had asked me a lot of questions, and some of them I answered in subsequent letters, and one I didn't, which was, what is the total sum of my experience with the paranormal? So my dad dying was not my first experience. My childhood is filled with all kinds of experiences that some I can't put into words, I can't describe. I did have episodes of sleep paralysis when I was younger, but I don't have that anymore, and I haven't had it for a long time. So my childhood was just, it was full of fear. fear. I was scared of so many things, especially old things. I guess they really resonated too much with me and overwhelmed me. When I was 13, we moved into a new home, and we hadn't been there for very long. We went out to dinner, and probably to celebrate, didn't lock our doors. We didn't do that back then. And when we came home, every door, everything that could be opened in the house could be opened. It was a split level house with a basement, and just all the kitchen cabinet doors, the pantry, the refrigerator, the freezer. I don't remember if the oven was open or not, probably. The coat closets, upstairs, we went upstairs and everything was open, all the dresser drawers, even the tiny little drawers on my mom's jewelry box to hold rings and pins and stuff, all of those were open, but nothing was disturbed, nothing was taken. And I mean, we just kind of wandered through shutting things and looking at each other with our eyebrows raised, just like, what? And we didn't talk, but we were like waiting for the other shoe to drop, for the joke to come through, for someone to be like, ha ha, I played one on ya, woo. But it didn't come. And the weird thing about this kind of phenomenon that I'm so glad I'm listening to your show and learning about is that after it happened, we didn't talk about it. And that's a weird thing, because there was an entity in that house, probably still is in that house, that haunted us every single day, sometimes extremely intensely and sometimes not. And I think that this entity was limited. I will tell you why. And I'll try to make this short, I swear. Okay, so my sisters and I, we had upstairs bedrooms, and our laundry was in the basement and other things. So we would go down to the basement and get our clothes out of the dryer and bring them upstairs to our bedroom to fold them before we go to bed and things like that. So there was a lot of up and down the stairs just before bed with us girls, getting our things together. And we always ran. We would walk down the basement stairs, get done with whatever we had to get as quickly as possible, and then fly up the basement stairs. There was never any stopping or dawdling or anything on the basement stairs. And then quick steps through the main floor, and then fly up the second set of stairs as well, because once you were in your room, you were safe. We never felt it in the rooms until many, many, many years later. So that was like a safety zone. You could get to it because you did not stop on those stairs, because we just knew something that we could not see that could feel was right on us. And, you know, I don't know what it would have done if I had stood there. And I didn't want to find out. I was just afraid, and I just... So, during the night, in the darkest hours of the night, this entity, it may have gone back downstairs and traversed again for a second time, the fifth time. Once we were in bed, it would go down and then come back up, I think. The thing is that when I was in my bedroom, I couldn't feel it in the hallway, even with my door open. I couldn't feel it in the hallway, which is bizarre. But my sister could, and it would stand outside my sister's bedroom door every night, and she could feel it. Sometimes it would go weeks where it didn't feel as intense, and then sometimes it would be very intense, and there didn't seem to be any reason for it. And you know, the other weird phenomenon with this is that we didn't talk about it. We should have been saying, you know, oh my God, there's a ghost, but we didn't. We never did until... It wasn't until we all grew up and moved out, and that's when I first brought it up to my mom, because when I came back to visit, he was still there. And when I stayed in my old bedroom, again, I didn't feel him. But when I stayed in my sister's old bedroom, I felt him. And the one night that it was so bad, he stood inside the door, not outside the door in the hallway. He was inside the door, and so intense. I can't explain how heavy and how heavy it was in that room. And I could just... this entity wanted something. I don't know what. I feel like it was limited in the way that it could communicate and where it could go in the house, because there are parts of the house where I would never feel them. Nobody did. Dining room, things like that. So, I mean, I never got to know what this thing wanted, but it was there. And we talk about it now that we're not there. And I have lived in other houses that are not haunted. My first experience in a not haunted house was a real eye-opener. Anyway, sorry this was so long and probably terribly rambly, but I love you guys, and your show is great, and I'll be in touch again soon. Thanks.
Thanks for sharing your experiences with us.
I think that's very interesting that the spirit could go in her room but could go in the sister's room.
That is interesting, and it where she was talking about limitations.
Mm-hmm.
I think there often are those limitations.
Yeah.
And we are unaware of them until sometimes you can kind of crack the code, which it sounds like she kind of did,
mm-hmm.
figuring out the where's and the when's of what this thing can and can't do. But I'm guessing almost all entities out there have some sort of rules they are bound by.
Right.
And I don't know if that makes it more comforting or acceptable if you have a ghost in your house and you know what it can and can't do,
mm-hmm.
if you were to be able to know that, as opposed to, well, this thing could probably do anything.
Sure.
Because that would be, I think, probably the initial thought.
Well, my question, when they had the incident where all the cabinets and drawers and anything you could open was opened,
mm-hmm.
if that included her room.
I don't know.
I'm just curious on that, because if it did, then something was able to get in there. But if it did not, then that's very odd.
Well, was it able to get in there, or was it just open to just, you know, I can open your door and I can stand in the hall, but I can't get in there. I mean, that could be enough to be freaky.
Yeah.
You know, but it can't enter for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I wonder if it would be able to open things from within her room, though.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a creepy story.
Yeah.
And a very good one. Thank you for recording that and then sending that in to the show. 855-853-4802, our phone number. You can email your story audio-wise if you don't want to call that phone number. Or You can also write in on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get those stories to us. I really liked that. That was cool with the, we've been getting more of them. Wasn't the first one, but just right. The audio quality of it, of being able to record mm-hmm. and it just clear, yeah. So much clearer. So I like that a lot.
I do too.
I wonder if like phone quality will ever improve to where that's like what you get on the phone. I know like sometimes if you're doing like a Skype call from mm-hmm. someone to someone, it sounds about that quality. It's really nice and crisp and clear. Mm-hmm. But like phone to phone, I wonder if that will ever get to a level where it's of that quality.
I don't think so, because you're always going to have that background interference sound, you know?
Yeah, I just wonder. I don't know. I remember there was a commercial years ago. I think Whitney Houston was on it.
Okay.
And it was for like AT&T or something. And it was about how clear the audio was between the phone lines.
Mm-hmm.
As if AT&T really had a whole lot to do with it, because, I mean, I guess if you're going straight AT&T to AT&T at the time, maybe that would make sense if it's like just across town mm-hmm. and you're only going on their service system that's been quote-unquote upgraded. But the thing is, what are you going to do when somebody's on a completely different system over here or there? I mean, that's still going to have to run through something.
Yeah.
I think it was probably a line of BS, but but they got Whitney Houston to sing about it. So there you go. It makes everything so real. Let's go to another caller, Jessica in Utah. Hi.
Hey, Tony. This is Jessica from Salt Lake City. I know it's been a long time since I've called in, but nothing's been happening since we moved into the home, our new home, after the doppelganger and all that other stuff in the old house. Lately that's changed. And I think it's because of an experience my friend had. So, little backstory. During Halloween, there's this place. Can't remember the name of it, but it's one of those haunted house places where it's in Tooele, and it's from one of those Salem asylums that used to be. Of course, it was shut down a long time ago, but they made it into a haunted house. So the deal of this haunted house is you pay like $50 to go in, but the dare of this haunted house is to actually finish the whole building, which is like a straight line. You just go from the front to the back. Problem is, no one's been able to do that, because once you get halfway in, which is a big building, I've seen the building myself, it's a big building. So halfway, there's no employees, there's no decorations. It's actually, everything is genuine, where it's the real beds, the real chairs, everything is the original stuff. Which is kind of weird. I thought it was weird when my friend told me, but apparently people see things, like a crazy lady just walking around. People have seen her. You get pushed, you get pinched, you get all this stuff. And of course, because of that, no one's been able to finish. They immediately go out either the closest exit, or they turn around and run out. So, yeah, no one's been able to get their money back because they can't finish the thing. Well, my friend wanted me to go, but I just didn't want to. I didn't feel comfortable going, since being more sensitive than her. I just didn't want to bring something back home of whatever's there, which happens, especially if you're sensitive and ghosts like to travel sometimes. But my friend went, so she couldn't finish it. She freaked out. But when she was telling me everything that she saw, I kept on having these tiny visions, which sometimes happens when I'm being either told something, or if I'm in a building and I'm sensing something, I can see like little images of what is there. And she wasn't describing any person at all. She was just describing, you know, the beds, the walls, stuff like that. But in my mind, I kept on seeing a lady with really disgusting teeth, and she was like crawling on the floor. It was really weird. It just kind of made me have chills. And I didn't tell her that. I just listened to her, and I just kind of tried to block it out. But the weird thing was, that was months ago. That was like in October, November. After that, been a couple of months, and everything started in January. It was weird. I started hearing, like, knocking on my ceiling and now in my bathroom. And at first I thought, oh, it's just the pipes. Oh, it's just my daughter's nightlight, because it was on, I guess, the wall in the other room. But so I shoved it off, and I was remodeling, well, reorganizing the bedrooms, and I moved everything away from the wall that was against the bathroom. And this morning I started hearing the knocks again, and nothing was on. I had no pipes, I mean, no water going. It was just me getting dressed for work, and I can hear three distinct knocks right behind me. And there's nothing against that wall. No one's awake. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to ignore it, because if I acknowledge it, then if it is what I think it is, I don't want it knowing. So, and it's weird, because in the other house, I used to hate looking at our front window because I kept on feeling like someone's watching me leave. And that's exactly what I'm feeling at the new house now. It just started. I don't know what to say. So, and I'm starting to have that feeling that someone's, like, when I'm walking upstairs to my bedroom, to my daughter's room, if I look down the stairs, I keep on feeling like something's right there. Kind of freaks me out, but I just try to ignore it. It's just, you know, the creepiness. And I don't know, I've just been having these weird, weird dreams that don't make any sense, but it creeps me out so much. And I don't know, I'm wondering if I'm starting to unblock a lot of things after blocking them for almost 2 years. My son's almost two, so I started doing it before I was, while I was pregnant with him. So, yeah, I'm probably more. But, yeah. So I thought I would call in, especially since I'm not at the house. I didn't want to talk about it at the home. I feel more comfortable talking while I'm out of the home about it. So, anyways, I haven't been listening to the podcast, unfortunately. I'm gonna start doing that. My last job, I wasn't able to do that really, so now I have a new job that I'm able to listen to the podcast all day. So I'm guessing I'm gonna be binging on the podcast, especially since my phone didn't mark where I was. So yeah, I'm gonna be listening to all of them from start to beginning and see what ones I haven't listened to and which ones I have. So, anyways, talk to you later if anything changed. Have a great day.
Employers must love us.
Do you think so?
It's like, are you listening to that damn ghost show again and not doing the job I'm paying you for?
There's a lot of jobs that you can listen to stuff and still do what you're supposed to do.
I agree. I'm not good at that, though. I can't listen to podcasts during the day when I'm working. Mm-hmm. I get too distracted. I can do music. That is fairly passive for me. But if I'm, like, listening to another show or something, it's like, I'm either doing one thing or the other. I'm either working or I'm engaged in the podcast. And then if I'm like engaged in the podcast and working, my work is like, what am I doing?
I know.
Or if I'm into the pod, you know, but it's just, I can't do it.
I know. That's how I am. If I'm typing or something, I will type what I'm hearing versus what I'm meaning to type.
Unless it's really monotonous. Mm-hmm. I can handle it if it's like monotonous, like I'm going to copy and paste this and move this. Just like a simple mindless task can be done. But thinking, nah.
No.
Can't combine the two.
I think this is a case where she's not going from haunted location to haunted location. I think it's actually following her because it's doing the same things at these different places.
Yeah. I don't think it's a case. You're right. I don't think it's a case where she, you know, is just keeps lucking out and getting the haunted house every time she goes somewhere. It's probably something she may not necessarily want to hear, but I think that that is probably the reality, is the fact that she's a haunted person, so to speak. As to why or how it all began, I don't know. But it does appear that there's something following her and doing the same thing. And I don't blame her for you know, I wonder if there's rules here with this, if it can only be interacting with her in a certain place. Almost like on the first call, where there was that, where she feels more comfortable outside of the house. Like, that seems to be where this stuff is happening. More so than just at work or over here or there. So I wonder if there's some sort of something with that. It almost makes me wonder more so when you have a case like that, if she's not having anything weird happen outside of her home, is it an object?
That is a good thought, because, yeah, because you would assume if they're with you all the time, following you from place to place, that they're in the car with you, they're hearing anything you say anytime, any place.
Yeah.
So that's, that could be.
A lot of times you have the haunted person type syndrome, for lack of a better term. It seems to be that there's stuff going on everywhere. You know, there's, no matter where you are, it's not necessarily just at home or at work, or it's all going and it's always ongoing. So in this case where she does, you know, move from place to place, people take their belongings. I'm wondering if there is something there.
That's a good thought.
It's something to think about. You know, look at what you have, look at when this stuff started, and then take a look back and try and, you know, think, was there anything that came into her possession around that time? And maybe, you know, do a little narrowing down from there.
Yeah.
Ask your friends to, here, give, re-gift the things.
No,
that you
don't, don't re-gift
to your
suspicious
loved ones.
Items.
Here, I bought these gravestones at an antique store, and it's all working out well.
Whoever buys those deserves to be haunted.
Those are creepy. Let's go to the caller. Hi.
Hi, guys. This is Carol Dowd from North Tonawanda, New York, again. I already sent in my part one and part three of my four weird experiences. This is part two. It's kind of difficult because it's pretty evil. Anyways, I'm doing this in chronological order. This happened when I was 25, which I just realized was half a lifetime ago because I just hit my 50th birthday. So it's kind of freaky, too. But anyways, what happened was one night I was having, I guess what a lot of people will laugh at and say, oh, that's just a stupid dream. And I'll tell you why later on, why it's, I don't believe it's a dream. I was at an ex-boyfriend's house, and I was in his kitchen, and to the front of me, to right in front of me is his bathroom door, and to the right hand side was his living room door. And I was standing in the kitchen, and I heard what could only be described as sex noises coming from the living room. And this little voice in my head says, go join them. And I'm like, no, I don't do that. I don't swing that way. And so I walked into the bathroom, and for some reason I took my clothes off and I got in the shower. And suddenly the shower changed from this nice tub and, you know, shower curtain and everything to this steel shower stall, I guess you could say, like a double-sized stall with sliding doors. And so I slid the one door open, and I look out, and there's people there, And I suddenly realized, well, there's people there, and they could see that I'm naked. Oh, my God. So I suddenly dreamed up a bathing suit. So at least all of the naughty bits were covered up. So anyways, I walked out of the stall and down this little, like, pebbly sort of rise that the stall was perched on. And I looked up, and I'm in this huge, huge pit. It was like a crater type of thing. And all around the edge of the crater, I could see these figures. And I'm just looking at them, and the weird thing is that they were all black. And I'm not talking African-American black. I'm talking charred black, like the color black. And they're all standing around the edge of this crater. And then I look at the crater, and there's about half a dozen people standing around looking normal looking, you know, got sweats on and, you know, casual clothes and that sort of thing. And then there's this little old man, and he's got on a gray suit with a gray tie and a gray shirt, a gray top coat, and he's got a gray felt hat. His hair and his mustache are gray, and he's like got this swarthy sort of look to him, and his nose is kind of hooked a little bit. And he started talking to me, and I thought, this is kind of weird because I can't understand what he's saying, but I'm pretty good with languages, and I just couldn't identify the language. It's like, I know this, but I couldn't, you know, identify it like as a Latin language or you know, a Nordic type of thing or you know, something like that. And I just thought, that's really weird. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't understand you. And he started to talk again, and I still couldn't understand what he was saying. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't understand you. And I turned away, and I came out of the dream. Now, the weird thing is I woke up, and my fiancé at the time was laying on his side, perched up on his elbow, staring at me. It's very disconcerting. And I said, wow, I had the weirdest dream. And I explained the dream to him, and he said, oh, wow, you were just tempted by Satan. I said, what? And he said, that little old guy, that's one of his disguises. I'm like, holy jeez. Okay, so he said that the first temptation was to have sex with multiple partners. The second temptation was to be naked in front of people, you know, exhibiting myself. And the third temptation was him trying to talk to me. If I had understood what he said, or if I'd continued to be naked, or if I had sex with these people, I would have been doomed. So I'm like, okay, this is just great. So I went to sleep. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning, and I said, I got to get up in the morning. I got to go to work. A couple weeks later, I talked to an ex-boyfriend who was an armchair theologian, basically. He knew a lot about religion and stuff. And I started telling him this dream that I had. And before I could even say what my fiancé had told me, he says, oh, yeah, you just got tempted by Satan. I'm like, I said, okay, tell me about it. And he told me basically almost the same thing word for word that my fiancé had told me about this. And so I really scared me a lot because I don't know if I was in hell or if I was in some way station where they test you to see if you can fail these temptations and then go to, you know, testing you for hell or what. And the reason I don't believe that this was a dream was because I've never heard of this story before. I've never heard of this prior to the actual dream. So I don't know where the hell I would come up with this, these ideas and this whole thing, unless I already knew something about it. And there was absolutely, I'd never heard of this before. And I just, the way my fiancé was looking at me, it turns out he's a very evil person. And I was thinking maybe he had done something to cause this to happen. I don't know. I mean, this has never happened before, or this never happened before, never happened since. So I don't know. All I do know is that it feels really scary, and I hate talking about it. I hate thinking about it. But if anybody has ever had this experience, just say no. Do not do anything or try to understand anything that somebody's telling you in some strange language or whatever. Don't listen, and don't believe what you're seeing. It's evil. And I just it was really strange. And that's my part three, and or my part two rather. My part three happened when I was about 35, and the next one that I'll call you about happened a few years ago. And it's a much better story. It's a happy story, in fact. So that's it. Thanks, guys.
I think when you have a dream and others can tell you about what you dreamt before you tell them, that it's more than just a dream.
Yeah, that's a little bizarre.
Yeah, that means that's not, I won't say that that's common, but that's not something that is original to you.
Yeah, I think there's something where there's, they're having some sort of influence on that.
Mm-hmm. Now, it makes me wonder if, like she said, if there was some kind of involvement with the fiancé, because she said, you know, later that she found out he was evil, and maybe... Mm-hmm. He was trying to bring that into the relationship.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
Very bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing that story. Part three should be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that. Thank you for calling in and sharing those experiences with us. Our phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to Ashley in Indiana. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Ashley from Indiana, and I am... trying a different way of recording my story, and I hope you guys get it and that you can play it on the air. If not, if you would email me back so I can call in. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you a short little story. It involves me and my niece at my parents' house where they currently live, my dad and my stepmom. Okay, so way back in October when I started listening to your show, my sister, her two kids, and her boyfriend were coming up from Tennessee. And I haven't seen them in a while, so I was really excited, and I had called in to your show for the first time in October. And so they come up here, and they're here for a week, and I was so excited you guys played my show, and I had my niece listen to it. It was when I lived in Elwood, and the lights went out mysteriously and couldn't figure out why, and the house was spooky. Anyway, so me and my niece and my sister and her boyfriend, and we all love scary stuff and spooky stories, so we're all talking, but at this point it was just me and my niece, and we were talking, and we were actually driving out to my dad's house because they were going to spend the night, my niece and my nephew. And so we're driving out there, and we're listening to the rest of my story on the podcast. And then after the story was over, we just kind of started talking. And then, you know, she's telling me some of her experiences, and I'm telling her some of mine. And we started talking about my parents' house, the house we were actually literally driving to. And I had said to her, yeah, I don't know how many times at night I would be laying in bed trying to go to sleep, and I would feel like a sensation of someone very gently shaking the bed. And, you know, I had a cat, but he rarely ever slept with me. And, you know, we didn't have a dog or anything, and I know it wasn't me. And the house, it never just shook like that. And so I always find that really odd that all the time, and I would experience this all the time, almost every single night, that my bed was just, would just kind of shake a little bit, like just, I don't know, just a weird vibration. And I always just chalked it up to being something with the house, or I would just ignore it. I did hear my name called a few times as I'm falling asleep. Let's see. Now, my mom, she told me a few things that happened to her. She told me one night she got up to go to the kitchen to get something to drink, and they have like laminate on their kitchen. Not like tile, but that cheap like laminate stuff. Obviously, they just lay down. Well, anyway, she said that when she started to walk into the kitchen, the laminate was like rippling, like not just like a little bit, like, because I know sometimes air can get underneath them and create that effect. But no, she said this was unnaturally high ripples, and she said she got scared, so she was just like, nope, turn around and went back to bed. And it was years before I learned any of these things, because they didn't want to freak me out. And so I was out there this past, I don't know, summer or fall, and I was doing some yard work for him. And my dad and me, we started talking about, you know, spooky stuff. And he told me, and I asked him, I said, well, has anything ever happened to you out here? And the only thing that he would tell me, which I have a feeling more has happened, but this is the only thing he would tell me. He said that one day he went to go to work, and he had started his truck to warm up, because he's got a diesel in it, and it takes a while for it to warm up. So anyway, he's in the house, and he's getting ready to go, and so he goes out to the truck, and the doors are locked. And he can't get in. And he specifically remembers not locking the door when he started the truck. He told me something like some kind of mechanism with the truck, like somehow it can't be locked from the inside, like while it's running, which doesn't really make much sense to me, because, you know, you would think you would be able to lock a truck, but he said he's never been able to, like, recreate it. Now, I'm just sitting here thinking, oh, okay, Dad, you know, you just got in your truck, started, and accidentally hit the lock with your elbow or something. But he swore up and down that he didn't do that. And my dad is not the type of person to do that stuff. He doesn't do it. So he has to go wait in our little tool shed for, like, 2 hours for my mom to get home and let him in the house, while his truck is running the whole time, and it was really cold out. So anyway, getting back to my niece and I, we're driving in my van, and we're going out to my parents. And after I tell her the bed shaking, you know, experience, she tells me that she experienced the exact same thing. That sometimes when she would lay in bed, when she was spending the night out there, that the bed would vibrate, like very gently. And she said it would always freak her out. She always felt like she was being watched out there. And last time she was up, which was a couple years ago, she never wanted to go out there. She always wanted to stay with me. And I thought, well, you know, she's just young. She wants to stay with her aunt because I let her do more. But, I mean, that was one of the reasons. But another reason was because she was scared out there. And she didn't want to tell my mom and dad because she didn't think they would believe her. So that kind of freaked me out. I was like, really? The same thing happened to you that was happening to me? And I mean, I knew what was happening to me was real, but I didn't know something like that exactly had happened to someone else, let alone my niece. So that kind of validated some things for me, and also kind of freaked me out, you know, because I'm thinking, wow, it's not only messing with me, it's messing with other members of my family. So another incident when I was out there, well, I guess I should really tell you that when my parents first bought that property, because when my dad bought the property, there was a huge pole barn on there. And, I mean, it was really, really big. And there was just land and a barn. And they had the house built. And so we spent the whole summer, this is like back in 98 when I was like, I don't know, younger, like maybe 12 or something. Yeah, that was right around 12. And so we spend the whole summer cleaning this huge pole barn out. It had all sorts of just old stuff in it, you know. And my grandparents even came over to help, and we got it all cleaned out by the end of the summer. And that fall, they were actually, or at like right at the end of the summer, they were going to really start working on building the house. So they tell me, I come home from school one day, and they tell me that the barn has burnt down. Lightning had struck it, and it had caught fire, and it burned to the ground. And I was so mad because I'd put so much work into it. Well, we all were, you know, we were all really upset. And I felt really bad for my dad because I knew he was really excited about that barn. He had a lot of plans for it, you know. So we get out there, and I mean, it's just a pile of just ashes. And it was a complete loss. So went ahead, built the house and everything. And a couple years later, I want to say maybe 4 or 5 years later, my stepmom told me that when they were cleaning out the barn, they found satanic symbols. They found dead chickens. They found some kind of like satanic magazines or like dark magazines or something. I don't even know if they have satanic magazines, but it may not have been magazines. It may have been books or something, but yeah. And they didn't want to tell me that stuff because they didn't want to freak me out, obviously. I was only 12, which I appreciated. But I just always, I thought that was so weird. And then I'm thinking, is the land tainted? You know, I mean, was there something in that barn? And I remember being in that barn, and I would clean it out, spending time in there, and I never felt weird in there. So it was just a strange occurrence. When me and my current husband, before we got married, we broke up for just a short while, about 3 months. And we had our first son by then. He was like 2. And so I spent a lot of time out of my parents because I hated being alone in my apartment with my son. And I liked spending time out there at my parents' house. And my husband went to go live with his mom and dad. So we were out there, and I stayed the night out there all the time. So I'm out there, and I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm getting ready to watch a movie on my laptop, and I have my earphones on, and, you know, a bowl of popcorn next to me, and, well, right next to the couch is this little end table with a lamp on it. And my mom is sitting in her chair watching TV, and my dad's in bed. So I'm getting ready to start this movie. I'm all, you know, I'm going to have a nice night. And then all of a sudden, I see the lampshade moving out of the corner of my eye. And I look, and there's nobody there, and it's moving, like someone had just lightly just tapped it, and it's just kind of moving. So I pause my movie, I take off my headphones, and I look at my mom, and she's staring right at me, and I'm like, what's that? And she's like, oh, that's just our friendly ghost, Bob. And I'm like, what? Your friendly ghost? What? And I mean, I knew the strange things that happened around the house, but I didn't know they had a name for it, you know? And I got freaked out at this point because my son was in the spare bedroom sleeping. So I'm thinking, I mean, I didn't get a bad feeling from it, but it definitely creeped me out. And I remember feeling a little creeped out when I was younger, sleeping in that house. So I went straight in that bedroom, and I said out loud, I said, if you mess with my son in any way, you know, I will do everything possible to get rid of you out of this house. You know, I will call a priest in, I will sage it, I will bless it, I will do anything I can to get you out. You leave me and my kid alone. You know, and obviously it worked because I have never experienced anything out there since. Nor my kid. Not that I know of. I mean, he's only 7 now, so he hasn't ever said anything. So yeah, my parents' house is a little spooky. Which just seems to be weird. It seems to be like every single place I've ever lived has been just a little bit spooky. And I know I've taken up a lot of time, but I've just got a quick question for you. Do you think that people who have had near-death experiences are more prone to activity, to maybe things latching onto them and following them their whole lives, or, you know, whenever they have the near-death experience? Like, when my mom was pregnant with me, I was born at 6 months. I was born very prematurely, and the doctors actually said it was a miracle that I survived. Well, anyway, after being born, you know, at 6 months old, about a month later, my mom got into a very, very bad accident with my sister, and thank God my sister wasn't even hurt at all. But my mom, she suffered severe brain injuries and broke both of her collarbones and had a, you know, bunch of multiple injuries. And I believe that if she still would have been pregnant with me, she would have lost me. I would have died in the accident. So I consider that a near, kind of a near-death experience. Like I just dodged the bullet. And that kind of seems to have happened to me throughout my life. Like, I dodged the bullet before I was even born, and an incident happened to me by my apartments where I live. And I know everybody surely have had to have these sort of moments. I live right next to a four-way, and so I'm, you know, to my, if I go right, there's a gas station down the road, but if I go front, I can go to McDonald's, you know, and I'm trying to decide, do I want to go to the gas station to get a snack, or do I want to go to McDonald's, and there's literally no one else at the stoplight, so I'm thinking, I really want McDonald's. I'm like, no, I'll just go to the gas station. So right as I go to turn, a white truck coming from the other way blows past the stop sign and goes right through the intersection. And I mean, this lady's hauling ass. She had to have been going 45, maybe 50. And I mean, yeah, that's not very fast, but in town, it is kind of fast. So, and I just kind of stopped, and I thought that if I had made that decision 1 millisecond, you know, earlier to go straight, to go to McDonald's, that lady would have slammed into me, and she probably would have killed me. Because that's how fast she was going. Kind of freaked me out. Yeah, and I've done some not so smart things when I was younger, and I'm lucky I didn't either get into a wreck or die. So I've had things just kind of follow me throughout my life, and I just wanted to know if you guys think, you know, near-death experiences, do you think that attracts paranormal activity? So yeah, sorry this was so long. I know I said a short story at the beginning, but I guess it turned long. So yeah, thanks a lot for everything you do, and have a good night. Bye.
Do near-death experiences attract paranormal activity?
Okay. Yes and no. Here's my explanation.
Okay.
Near-death experience does make you more prone to paranormal activity because that veil between life and death has been thinned for you.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't necessarily make you like a walking target. You're just more sensitive to picking up what's already there.
I see what you're saying.
So it's not like, oh yeah, near death or right there, let's go get her.
Uh-huh.
It's more just a, okay, I can tell there's more things going on in this room, but they're not really coming after me.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does. I have another question too, following up, because it sounds like she said a slew throughout her life of experiences that were near death.
Yeah.
I mean, and it also depends how you define near death. Near death is being in a coma and you're out of it, and mm-hmm. they think you're diagnosed, you're going to die, and you come out of it. Mm-hmm. That's one where it seems like some of those veils could be opened. Is it a near death experience like that where she almost got into the car accident?
I don't think so, nor do I think it necessarily counts as a near-death experience when, you know, she was born prematurely and mm-hmm. her mom had the accident, and had her mom still been carrying her, she would have died. I think it's more so when you are directly involved, just about, you know, you're just about to die, not mm-hmm. just, oh, that could have killed me.
Sure.
And I know that's very kind of cloudy the way I just said that, but I think when she was born prematurely at 6 months
mm-hmm.
gestation,
sure,
that was probably the near-death experience that set this off, because
sure.
that's a very touch and go situation there.
Mm-hmm.
But the, oh, if I had just been there, that could have killed me kind of thing, I'm not sure that counts. It's more so injury, you know, things like that.
Yeah. It almost gets into the territory of, do you believe in like the final destination type thing, where you weren't supposed to continue on, you did somehow, and now the powers that be are out to take you out. And not human, but like just the world, the universe, essentially. It's like, you know, for example, movie Final Destination. Mm-hmm. That's essentially that whole concept. It's in the new TV show 1165.
Messing, or 63.
Or 63. I'm sorry.
History.
And where he, you know, screws something up in the timeline and then, or he is about to attempt to, but the universe will not let him.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something? Or is this just a slew of...
Like if you have a near-death experience, you're going to keep having them until something gets you?
I'm not saying that necessarily, that it's from the near-death experience, but maybe something triggered it. Like for example, after that near car accident, maybe that was supposed to, something was supposed to happen. It didn't. She avoided it. And now after that, there's just going to be a slew of more things. I don't know. I'm just wondering if that exists or if this is all just a concept there's no real proof of.
I think that's... That Final Destination stuff makes for a good movie, and that's about it.
I think you're probably right.
But I do think maybe there was something that told her to go the other way.
Sure.
That she might not have picked up on if
she had not
had a near-death experience.
I think full circle there.
Full circle.
Dots,
like that?
Dots connected.
And that's how you do that.
There you go. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for supporting it. If you are an EPP, if you're not yet, please consider becoming one and helping to keep this thing on the air. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. And that will keep this show going. It's only $5 a month, or you can sign up for a full year. Get 1 month absolutely free when you do it that way. Get access to all of our bonus material. Episodes of Singing Ghosts, which episode 5 is out now. Enjoy that. All the bonus episodes, 80 some of those, just waiting for you to download our best stories on those. So check it out. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
You ever wonder how far an EV can take you on one charge? Well, most people drive about 40 miles a day, which means you can do all daily stuff no problem. Go to work, grab the kids at school, get the groceries, and still have enough charge to visit your in-laws in the next county. But they don't need to know that. And the best part? You won't have to buy gas at all. The way forward is electric. Explore EVs that fit your life at electricforall.org.
From the neon lights of the club to the harsh, buzzing lights of the office, don't let the wear show on your face. Just swipe Maybelline Instant Eraser Concealer to erase the night before, wherever that happens to be. Instantly cover dark circles and under eye bags for a brighter, more awake look. This do-it-all formula also contours, corrects, and highlights, all while staying lightweight, crease-resistant, and smooth. It may be the world's greatest eraser. Find your shade of Instant Eraser Concealer at your local retailer.